right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. And happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Senegal has had a lot to celebrate recently. Earlier this month, Senegal celebrated its first Africa Cup of Nations football title. And earlier this week, Senegal celebrated the inauguration of a new 50,000-seat sports stadium located about 30 kilometers from the capital, Dakar. FIFA President Gianni Infantino spoke at the ceremony.
Cher président, mon frère Macky Sall, dear presidents present here today, President of Turkey, of Rwanda, of Gambia, Guinea-Bissau, Liberia, dear George, quel honneur d'être ici aujourd'hui et quelle émotion. Bravo, Sénégal!
Well done, Senegal. And in just more than a week, Senegal will celebrate top-level African men's basketball. The second season of the Basketball Africa League, or BAL, will tip off March 5th in Dakar, Senegal. There will be 15 games played at the Dakar Arena before the league moves to Egypt for 15 more games in April, and then to Rwanda for the final 8 games. The Voice of America is a proud broadcasting partner of the BAL, and I'm looking forward to anchoring our English radio broadcasts.
The Basketball Africa League is back. Voice of America joins forces with Africa's premier men's basketball league to bring you the second season of the BAL. It is game on March 5th, 2022. 38 games, 12 teams leaving it all on the court in Senegal, Egypt, and Rwanda to determine the 2022 season champion. Tune in to VOA 24/7, FMs, and to our radio and TV affiliates for some action. Pre-game, play-by-play, post-game, daily highlights, delivered by our finest commentators. Basketball Africa League 2022 on Voice of America. May the best team win.
I'm Sunny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. World football's governing body, FIFA, has suspended Kenya and Zimbabwe from international competitions because of government interference in the running of their national soccer bodies. It means clubs and national teams from Kenya and Zimbabwe cannot play in any international tournaments. Funds from FIFA are also cut off. Football Kenya Federation and the Zimbabwe Football Association, ZIFA, have both been in turmoil in recent months because of allegations of corruption. Joining us now from Harare, Zimbabwe, is Columbus Mavunga.
FIFA President Giovanni Infantino announced the suspensions at a press conference broadcast Thursday on the football governing body's website.
We had to suspend two of our member associations, Kenya and Zimbabwe, both for government interference in the activities of the football association. So these associations are suspended from all footballing activities with immediate effect. And they know what needs to be done for them to be readmitted, or for the suspension to be lifted.
FIFA suspended the two countries' associations after their governments pushed aside the association's leaders. Kenya in November replaced the Football Kenya Federation with a caretaker committee, while Zimbabwe Sports and Recreation Commission, SRC, took control of the Zimbabwe Football Association. FIFA has maintained that the allegations should be investigated internally rather than by governments taking over. On Friday, Zimbabwe's SRC chairperson, Gerard Mulochwa, hit back at FIFA.
It appears that FIFA does not recognize the laws of Zimbabwe insofar as they pertain to corruption and sexual harassment. Its demands for reinstatement constitute an interference with the statutory obligations of the SRC as well as the judicial processes of the country.
In November, officials in Zimbabwe suspended the Zimbabwe Football Association, ZIFA, on allegations of corruption, incompetence, and sexual harassment. Authorities accused ZIFA officials of diverting funds from FIFA and the government for personal use and of seeking sexual favors from female players and employees. Zimbabwe suspended body denied all the allegations and in November called for a probe of the Sports and Recreation Commission, saying it was conducting a witch hunt under the guise of cleansing football. A ZIFA lawyer declined to comment on FIFA's suspension, saying they were still digesting the statements by the football governing body and the Sports Commission. Zimbabwe sports journalist Hope Chizuzu notes ZIFA's suspended body was urging FIFA to suspend Zimbabwe.
Now that request has been granted, it is interesting to see what will become of the same, because what this effectively means is the suspended executive committee members cannot operate.
Zimbabwe Sports Commission's Mulochwa says the Football Association's body will remain disbanded and the SRC will continue to run it despite FIFA's suspension.
We have a well-considered roadmap for the reform of football administration in Zimbabwe. In the meantime, domestic football will continue as normal throughout the country with the full support of the SRC. The ZIFA Executive Committee and its General Secretary will remain suspended. Football in our country will be reformed for the benefit of all stakeholders, with or without the assistance of FIFA.
While suspended, Kenya and Zimbabwe will not receive any funding from FIFA and their football teams will not be allowed to play in any matches organized by FIFA or by the Confederation of African Football. This is Columbus Mavungam for the Sunnyside of Sport, Harare, Zimbabwe.
Thanks, Columbus.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, Jonathan Mensah here, Black Stars defender and Columbus Crew captain. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
One of our big stories at the recent Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Cameroon was Rwandan referee Salima Mukansanga becoming the first woman to officiate a match. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, here's a feature profile from Eugene Uimana in Kigali, Rwanda.
I'm happy with my profession.
Salima Mukansanga is putting Rwanda on the map. Sports analyst Ethan Tashobia says,
having Salima Mukansanga as the first ever female referee to officiate at the finals of Africa Cup of Nations is such a huge milestone, not only for Rwanda, but for the African women sportsmen and referees. I think she's opening up for future milestones.
In 1988 in Western Rwanda, a girl who would make history was born in the Rusizi district near the border of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Salima Mukansanga is a nurse by education. She has a bachelor's degree in nursing, which she received from the University of Yitwe. I had the chance to talk with Salima a few days before she flew to France to officiate matches at the 2019 Women's World Cup. She said her father was a big influence in her becoming a football referee. I believe I got this talent from my dad. He was a sportsman. He was not a referee like me, but he played football a long time ago. And when he was old, he used to sponsor football clubs. Salima says when she started as a ref in 2008, she was harshly criticized by football fans who said being an official on the pitch is a man's job. I reached the point where I was about to quit. You see, I do a lot of physical exercises and I get paid per match. So that time matches were not many, which means there was no money. It was difficult for me, but because I knew what I wanted and it is my passion, I had to be resilient. Salima says her big dream is to officiate matches at Senior Men's World Cup. However, football is not her favorite sport. When she was in secondary school, she loved to play basketball, but due to a lack of female teams, she couldn't continue. Her vision changed, and now she says she exercises 6 days a week to stay fit and achieve her dream. Salima says one setback to her development has been the lack of female football competitions in Rwanda. In our country, female competitions are not many, and to get access to international ones is not easy. It's a problem because the more you get men matches, the better you become. In becoming an international football referee, Salima Mukansanga has empowered many Rwandan girls. So says a sports commentator at Rwanda Broadcasting Agency, Rugoga Ruth. When girls hear the story of Salima, they understand that it's possible. It motivates them to keep believing in sports and consider it as a career, a profession that you can make a living with. She's a Rwandan treasure. Rwanda has been recognized globally for its efforts to promote women in politics and other fields. Ethan Tashobia says Salima is a visible product of these initiatives.
I think the international community, especially Africa, is recognizing the effort that the Rwandan government is putting into to support women, to empower women in all sectors. And when Salima Mukansanga was given an opportunity to officiate at the just concluded Olympic Games, I think the CAF was awake. They were watching and they were like, this lady is from Rwanda. She's from Africa, from a country that has been at the top of women empowerment in all sectors, politics. And then here we have a sports personality in her own category. I think it's sort of attached to the entire effort that the country, the government of Rwanda is putting in to empower women.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Ejene Wimana, reporting from Kigali, Rwanda.
Thanks, Ejene. VOA's Gwen Uten also filed this report on Salima Mukansanga.
In January, history was made on the pitch when Rwandan Salima Mukansanga became the first woman to officiate at the Africa Cup of Nations. Mukansanga walked on the field holding the match ball, accompanied by three male match officials. And during the game, which saw Zimbabwe defeat Guinea 2-1, she showed a total of 6 yellow cards and separated players on the field. Ugandan sports journalist Usher Komungisha told Reuters News, the ease and determination Mukansanga displayed on the pitch are the same traits that helped her reach the pinnacle of soccer on the African continent.
You have to go all the way back to 1957. That is 65 years of AFCON history, and she's right here in the center and doing an incredible incredible job. You know, when I see her, it's really a story of, you know, a woman who is resilient. At 33, she's handling, you know, games at the biggest tournament on this continent. It's an inspiration for women who want to be like her, because, in fact, for so many people who don't know, when she started her career, when she got the interest to be a referee, she was playing football in primary and secondary school. And then the Rwandan FA at the time said, look, you're very young to be a referee. But she waited out. She taught herself the rules of the game. And here she is.
Soccer fans who were in attendance for the Zimbabwe-Guinea match said they were inspired by Mukansanga's achievements. And Zimbabwe supporter Felicia Chisepo says last month's historic event is a big step forward for women in Africa.
Seeing a woman being empowered, this means that we're going forward, moving as Africa, whereby women are being represented and are being also involved in these sports that, you know, for a long time they is regarded as for men. So seeing a woman, it also shows power. We're seeing women doing great things. So I'm so proud of the referee, and I'm also proud of me as a woman.
And Daphne Tinomuoto says Mukansanga has inspired female athletes to reach even greater heights in competition.
So I think it's going to inspire other women in the continent to compete and go for the course as well, so that they can compete in on greater events like the AFCON competitions.
Mukansanga's rise to the pinnacle of football was fueled by a passion for the sport, with an interest first as a player that shifted to the middle of the field as a referee. Egide Kayatesi remembers training Mukansanga in her youth. Speaking in Kinyarwanda, the veteran coach says she remembers her as a standout athlete. Kayatesi says, I had a good time with her. Mukansanga has an exceptional character, and when she has a match, she prepares for it by consulting refereeing books to do things correctly. She is someone who gives great importance to each game, and that's why Salima has reached this level. Mukansanga was involved in matches at the Tokyo Olympics last year and the Women's World Cup in France in 2019. Those world-class events no doubt not only prepared her for officiating the Nations Cup, but also in making history on Africa's grandest stage. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Sporting greetings. This is Ruth Osar, a Nigerian triple jump and long jump athlete. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel. In honor of Black History Month, we speak with a leader in the conservative political movement in the United States, former president of the Heritage Foundation, Kay James, who is now serving as Secretary of the Commonwealth of Virginia. We'll talk with Ms. James about a range of issues, including the impending appointment of a Black woman to the Supreme Court. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Samson Omale joins us now with more on the FIFA suspensions of Kenya and Zimbabwe. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sonny. We begin the wrap of Africa sports action for this weekend with FIFA suspending Zimbabwe and Kenya from international competitions as a result of government interference in the running of their national soccer bodies. Zimbabwe was banned after its government-run Sports and Recreation Commission refused to relinquish control of the Zimbabwe Football Association and reinstate the Federation's leadership. FIFA officials were removed from office in November on allegations of corruption. Kenya was banned after its sports ministry also removed the Soccer Federation's leaders and accused them of corruption. Kenya soccer president Nick Mwemwa is facing criminal charges. It means Zimbabwe and Kenya national teams and clubs can't play in any international competitions. Fans from FIFA are also cut off. Kenya's women's national team was already thrown out of the qualifying competition for the African Cup of Nations competitions because of the crisis at the federation. In CAF Champions League news, the elite African club competition returns on Friday, the 25th of February, with South Africa's AmaZulu hosting Algerian visitors ES Setif in Durban. On Saturday, there will be three matches. This will include an all-Angolan clash between Sagrada Esperanca and Petro de Luanda in the early evening kickoff, followed by simultaneous night marches in North Africa as Morocco's Wydad Casablanca face Cairo Giants. Zamalek and coach Pitso Mosimane will have a reunion with South Africa's Mamelodi Sundowns, a team he once coached before when they visit Egyptian heavyweight Al Hakli. In the CAF Confederations Cup, there will be three games when Eswatini's Royal Leopards host South Africa's Orlando Pirates, which will be followed by more action in North Africa when Morocco's RS Bakane will take on Tanzania's Simba SC and Zambian club Zanaco will face Libya's Al Ahly Tripoli. And now to Ghana, where the Minister of Youth and Sport, Mustapha Usif, says hosting the 2023 African Games in Ghana will be of immense benefits to the country's sports development. August 2023 has been identified as the most likely window for the next edition of the African Games, and Usif expressed optimism that construction is on schedule. At least 18 sports are expected to be on the program. Here's Ghana Minister of Youth and Sport giving more details about how the All-African Games can contribute to development of sport in Ghana and on the African continent.
The eventual impact on society is that people learn to peacefully coexist and resolve their differences more amicably rather than through violence means. It is for this reason and many more that the government of Ghana, and indeed the forefathers of the continent of Africa, deem it convenient to establish and support the organization of the African Games since 1965.
In tennis news, the finals of the ITF Junior Tennis Tournament comes to a close this Friday at the Integrated Polytechnic Regional College Tennis Ground in Kichuro in Rwanda. After 2 weeks of entertaining tennis, a total of 85 players from 34 countries participated in the tournament. In the boys' single final, Egypt's Hadi Alkadi will face Yazid Lajomori from Morocco, while another Egyptian, Mariam Ibrahim, and Ariana Valitova from Slovenia will play the girls' single finals. The tournament is meant to provide a launch pad for the best young players to go on and achieve success in the professional game. The top eight juniors at the end of the year go head-to-head at the prestigious season-ending ITF World Tennis Tour Junior Finals. In basketball news, Cherkil Saar, Rwanda national basketball team head coach, has added American-based center Kendall Lamar Gray to his roster ahead of the upcoming FIBA World Cup qualifiers that gets underway this Friday through to the 27th. Gray holds American citizenship but recently acquired the Rwandan one too. According to Saar, Gray is already in camp with the rest of the other national team players in Senegal, where the qualifiers will be taking place. In rugby news, South African national men rugby team, the Springbok Sevens, will be taking part in the Commonwealth Games and the Rugby Sevens World Cup. This is in addition to the regular season of games. Indeed, the 2022 program for the Springbok this season is full and excruciatingly demanding. However, with four straight wins in the Rugby World Cup 7 series, the Springbok Sevens appear to be prepared for a fantastic season. Their captain is Siviwe Soizuwapi. He speaks about the return of World Rugby Tournament to South Africa.
I think it's definitely going to be a successful tournament. The supporters and the spectators are so hungry to be back in the stadiums again. I mean, with COVID and the 2 years we've had now in COVID has been tough, and we haven't had a lot of supporters and spectators in the stadium, so they'll definitely be hungry for that, and for us as well. We haven't played in front of them and on our home soil in almost 2 years. The last time we played was 2019, so we're also excited. We can't wait for the atmosphere in the stadium and just to be able to represent our country in front of our home crowd. I can definitely promise that we'll give the best effort that we can out there, and we'll definitely implement the way that we want to play, which has been successful for us over the couple of years that I've been part of the system and the system itself for years. So yeah, definitely we promise a massive effort out there and to implement really well.
And finally, the Namibia Cricket Premier League is heading towards an exciting showdown this weekend as the semi-finals are set to take place in Windhoek. John Hayes, who is the operation manager of Cricket Namibia, says after the disruptions of the past 2 years, it is good to see matches being played uninterrupted. And he believes that without the interruptions, the players were better able to deliver every weekend and work on their skills, even though they had challenges with the frequent rains in Namibia.
I must say that the quality before the rain started with our flat decks, it was just phenomenal to see how our players coped, and it was inevitable that the quality of the cricket, not I won't say the quality, but the rain actually had an effect on matches and stuff. The nature of the competition went well. Every weekend we had matches, and it's the four top teams is going to fight it out this coming weekend in the 50 over semi-final. And that will be played on Wanderers on Saturday, and Sunday it will be played on VIS. So that will be the 26th and 27th of February.
That's John Hayes, the operations manager for Cricket Namibia. And thanks to Samson Omale for that spicy package of African sports news.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. After a one-week break in action because of its annual All-Star Game, the National Basketball Association resumed its regular season on Thursday night with seven games. One of the winners was the Phoenix Suns, who recorded their league-leading 49th victory of the season. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Devin Booker had 25 points, 12 assists, and a career-high six steals to help the NBA-leading Suns beat the Thunder 124-104. Booker played point guard with All-Star Chris Paul out with a fractured right thumb.
I knew it was going to be a different look. The balls, we didn't make many shots early, but, you know, I think we got some good shots. So, you know, we just want to hang our head on the defense end and make it tough on them. And, you know, when we do that, we don't have to run plays. We can just get on and transition. I think we're at our best now.
Cameron Johnson and Mikal Bridges each added 21 points for the Suns, who have won eight straight and 19 of 20 to improve to 49-10. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander led Oklahoma City with 32 points in his return after missing 10 games because of a sprained right ankle. Jason Tatum dropped in 30 points, and the Celtics routed the Nets for the second time this month, this time a 129-106 final. Tatum provided 11 points in the third quarter as the Celtics pushed their lead to 98-74.
We're having a lot more fun knowing how we going to play and, you know, how we should be playing night in and night out. And really just trying to build off that from game to game and having fun while doing it.
Jaylen Brown added 18 points, and Marcus Smart had 15 in Boston's 10th win in 11 games. Seth Curry scored 22 points, and Bruce Brown had 15 as Brooklyn lost for the 13th time in 15 games. That skid includes a 126-91 loss to Boston in Brooklyn on February 8th. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Now let's go to Chicago, where the Chicago Bulls clipped the wings of the Atlanta Hawks. The AP's David Schuster reports from Chicago.
DeMar DeRozan continued his NBA record streak as the Bulls defeated the Hawks 112-108. For the eighth straight game, DeRozan scored at least 35 points, 37 on this night, while shooting at least 50% from the field. DeRozan also scored 12 points in the final quarter, including two late clutch baskets.
When you're in those moments, you gotta, you know, you gotta take it on. You know, I love the moments. I love the challenge. I love the opportunity. You know, it's fun. It's fun to me.
Zach LaVine added 20 points for the Bulls, who won their sixth straight game. Bogdan Bogdanovic had a season-high 27 points for Atlanta, with Clint Capella adding 14 points and 17 boards. David Schuster, Chicago.
Have a good weekend, everyone. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.